Hello, Exopolitics listeners. I'm R.V. Romero, Stellar Artistic Director of Exopolitics Radio. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our show and for taking an interest in the evolution of our planet and our species through Exopolitics Radio and the study of law and order in the universe. For over a year now, I've enjoyed working closely with your elusive host, Alfred Weber, on this fine production that we're proud to broadcast on a weekly basis and post free of charge on our website. Currently, I'm happy to say that in the last 90 days, ExopoliticsRadio.com has been visited by people in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the U.S. During that time, we've averaged over 5,000 podcast downloads per show, and we're adding listeners every week with affiliates at Paranormal Radio, the Revere Radio Network, and most recently, Kansas City Online Radio. Now, I'm telling you all this to give you an update on how our show is progressing, and also to let you know that indeed, the number of intelligent people here on Earth who are catching on to the fact that there are other intelligent life forms in the universe is growing. And Exopolitics Radio is proud to be on the cutting edge of this revelation by reporting news and providing the insight and perspectives that you can't find anywhere else on the radio, in the newspapers, or on the television. We want to continue bringing you Exopolitics Radio both online and on air free of charge, as we always have, because we believe in the message and the content. However, as a studio and production team, we do have routine expenses which must be maintained in order to do so. It pains us to ask, and I promise we won't do it often, but if every listener online donated $1 a month, that would completely cover our production costs for the show and the immense amount of time spent doing research, interviews, and production time given graciously by our host. Of course, not every listener is going to be able to donate $1 or donate on a monthly basis, so if you could consider donating a little bit more, that would be a tremendous help and allow us to continue adding more and more affiliates, creating new programs, interviews, and materials, and most importantly, continue broadcasting this message of hope and truth around the globe and the universe. So whatever the outcome, I can promise you that we will continue working to bring you a unique and sincere program week in and week out, 12 months a year. So we thank you for your support of Exopolitics Radio. Please remember to go to www.exopoliticsradio.com and click on the donate menu option for more information. Thank you very much, and now back to the show.
Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Weekdays on 1480 KPHX.
I think that you're probably the most dangerous thing I've heard on the radio in a long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber. Alfred Weber is a futurist. He is the author of Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe. This is the book that helped found the field of exopolitics, which is the science of relations between human society and advanced extraterrestrial civilizations in the universe. Alfred is also an international director of the Institute for Cooperation in Space. He is dedicated to preventing the weaponization of space, transforming the permanent war economy into a peaceful, sustainable, new energy-based space-age economy, and supporting cooperation amongst life in the universe. Alfred is also a member of the Pro Tem Committee for the Kuala Lumpur International War Crimes Tribunal. Alfred, thank you so much for Exopolitics, and thank you for joining us on the show and being the show.
Well, thank you, RV. And thank you for this opportunity at role reversal. I am indeed Alfred Weber, the elusive host of Exopolitics Radio, which is a magazine format, exopolitical public affairs talk show, exploring the evidence and impact of intelligent, organized life in the universe on our human society. And RV, this is a special live program, our first, on the future of exopolitics. And when we put that out to our many thousands of listeners throughout the world, we said this is an opportunity to ask questions and answers on the future of exopolitics. So for those of you who would like to do that in our live listening audience, our website, by the way, is at www.exopoliticsradio.com, And our free audio archives are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. And tonight, in an unusual role reversal exercise, you can send your emails in, because after 8:30, we'll be reading any listener questions on the air or any listener phone calls. And if you'd like to send in your listener emails, you can send them right to my console here through the magic of internet technology. I will be receiving your emails at the following email address: exopolitics, that's spelled E-X-O-politics, P-O-L-I-T-I-C-S, exopolitics at exopolitics.com. And we'll receive that email at our Exopolitics Radio studio in British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada. And otherwise, you can call into 1-800-989-1480. And this is Exopolitics Radio, which took off in a cosmic trigger into hyperspace this year on March 10th, 2007, on the 10th anniversary of the Phoenix Lights, which is March 13th, which those of you in Phoenix and around the world who may not know, that was the date at which a 2-mile-wide, let me repeat that, folks, a 2-mile-wide extraterrestrial spacecraft glided slowly, ever so slowly, over the city of Phoenix, Arizona, and most of the state, ever so slowly, so that even the then sitting governor of Arizona, Fife Symington, who, like Peter, denied the existence of the spacecraft at that time in a spoof press conference, in the week following the cosmic trigger launch of Exopolitics Radio, came out of the closet and said on national television, "Oh, yes, yes, in fact, I did see the 2-mile-wide extraterrestrial spacecraft, and yes, I do believe it was from another world." Well, you're listening to the source and mother of all Exopolitics Radio talk shows here, listening to the source of the new political science of outer space. And I'm your host, Alfred Weber, ready here for your questions. And we're going to introduce you on air, RV. We have RV Romero, who's the creative director of Exopolitics Radio, the Wizard of Oz behind the scenes, who has done the magic that makes Exopolitics Radio be the phenom that it's become this season. We get fan mail from Wales, England, from Tokyo, Japan, from even from Phoenix, Arizona.
Of all places.
Of all places. So we're going to introduce RV Romero, who will be leading us through the future of exopolitics, questions and answers with the elusive host of Exopolitics Radio, Alfred Weber. So I'm going to hand the mic over to my capable creative director, RV Romero, on this, Ruben Romero's birthday, Julio 28, 1946. Hermano, te digo, feliz cumpleaños, te digo allá en el cielo, y muchos años en la eternidad. Muchas gracias, Rubén.
Muchas gracias
okay,
to you.
Okay, let's go.
Thank you, Alfred, for that, and I'm thanking you for Ruben as well. I know that Ruben would have been thrilled to have a chance to meet with you and to talk shop with you. And also, I want to thank you and say you give me a little way too much credit, sir, for my role in this production, because really all I do is hand the reins over to you, and I kind of strap in and enjoy the ride. So thank you for that. Alfred, The question that is burning in my mind right now, we've got about 4 minutes before we go to break, and I hope you can answer it before that. But I would like to know, you know, we talk about this concept of law and order in the universe, exopolitics. What is the future of exopolitics as it pertains to mainstream media and particularly mainstream radio?
You know, I think that that's a no-brainer. I mean, to me, that's a total no-brainer. If you look right now at what the largest, most extensive radio program on our fair oyster in the planet, planet Earth, the living planet Gaia, that's Coast to Coast, and on which I've been a guest a number of times, and the listening radio audience of Coast to Coast, which deals almost exclusively on the subject of exopolitics and extraterrestrials. In fact, the last time I was on there, the host, George Noory, and I discussed the future of exopolitics to somewhere between 26 and 40 million listeners every night by the count. And not only that, that show has the largest number of radio station affiliates. So that's the present of exopolitics. That's the present of exopolitics. So that anyone says that says and that would hold that exopolitics is not in the listening radio stations really is not a professional about radio broadcasting and does not know radio broadcasting. In fact, I used to be a radio talk show host back in the 1980s for WBAI in New York. And WBAI is the flagship station, one of the flagship stations of the Pacifica radio station. And at that time, we used the National Public Radio satellite. And we did an NPR special in 1987. On the harmonic convergence, which has to do with 2012 and the higher order plan, which we'll be discussing after the break, that the extraterrestrials have for the Earth to rejoin universal society. And that dealt with extraterrestrials. And we had, I mean, I can't remember the total number of NPR stations that we had listening to that. It was very, very large. It spanned the whole country. Right after, I mean, we were in Washington, D.C., and Houston, every major market throughout the U.S. The Washington Post called me right after the program. We blew their minds because practically the entire NPR system on the NPR satellite was listening to all of the radio stations of NPR were listening to extraterrestrials on the harmonic convergence. Mm-hmm. All of them. And they wanted to know about extraterrestrials. And that was, I mean, it just blew Air America and all their stations out of the water, man. That was back in 87. So don't give me this bunk that extraterrestrials can't be on radio. Back in 87, we were on practically all of the NPR stations.
Well, we'll be right back then, Alfred. We'll continue this discussion. We're listening to Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber, and we will be returning right after this.
The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are those of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of 1480 KPHX or our sponsors.
All right. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, a very special edition of Exopolitics Radio in this studio, 1480 KPHX Studios. I'm R.B. Romero, the guest, and Alfred is our host. You still with us, Alfred?
Hey, I'm right here.
Excellent. Alfred, before we went to break, we established that exopolitics is definitely in the media mainstream. It's in the radio mainstream. It is on people's minds, even perhaps if they don't know or are not aware of what the term exopolitics means. I think it's safe to say that definitely people have their finger on the pulse of extraterrestrials, and everybody has an opinion on that. So what I wanted to ask you, Alfred, on building on that concept that we were speaking about previously, my question is, since we know that exopolitics is in the public consciousness, how is it being portrayed in the mainstream, and how accurate is that portrayal in terms of what's really, in your opinion, going on?
Well, I think that exopolitics, which is, as I said, it's the study of relations between our human civilization and other civilizations in the universe, is really coming front and center. In January 2006, the Associated Press reported that exopolitics had been chosen for Word of the Year of 2005. And that was based on the book Exopolitics, my book, which first surfaced the concept in the year 2000. So it took us about 5 years to get to the very heart of the culture and become nominated for Word of the Year. Now, just this past July 8th, we're still in July 2007, Exopolitics was on the front page of the Washington Post. And you really have to understand that a paper like the Washington Post is like a Pravda used to be in the old days of the Soviet Union. It's put together by a committee. Articles do not appear by random on the front page of the Washington Post. And the gist of this article, which mentioned, by the way, Steve Bassett, who's the director of XPAC, the Extraterrestrial Political Action Committee, and the only registered lobbyist in Congress on the extraterrestrial issue, who's going to be our guest next week on Exopolitics Radio. The gist of this was that now that France, which opened its secret extraterrestrial files 3 weeks after Exopolitics Radio launched in March. It opened them on March 23rd, 2007, and 6 weeks later, the UK opens its secret extraterrestrial files. Now that that has happened, why isn't it that in this season of presidential debate, where we have over 20 presidential candidates, why isn't it that the extraterrestrial issue is not being a subject matter in the presidential debates? And I come from the perspective that Jimmy Carter, who actually campaigned openly in the 1976 U.S. presidential race between Carter and Gerald R. Ford, he campaigned on an open platform of making the secret U.S. government extraterrestrial UFO files public if he was elected president. And he won, some people say, on the basis of that platform. And I went on to become the director of the proposed Jimmy Carter White House Extraterrestrial Communication Study, which I was then a futurist at Stanford University. And we approached President Carter and the White House on the basis of his campaign. And we put together a study and got White House approval and brought in mainstream scientists, only to have it shut down by the Pentagon. And you can learn more about that by going to www.exopolitics.com. Well, what this July 8th, 2007 front page article in the Washington Post, which is like our United States Pravda, it's like what the official U.S. government CIA is thinking now, they say, well, why isn't the issue of extraterrestrial disclosure being a part of the presidential campaign now that the British and the French have disclosed? And it's conceded by anybody with half a brain who has taken a moment to study the issue that the U.S. has by far the largest load. And why is it that the U.S. has the largest load? It's because since the late 1940s, the U.S., as we've established through the guests that we've had here on Exopolitics Radio, the U.S. has had secret human extraterrestrial liaison programs through which high technology has been transferred. And that's how the U.S. has gained its technological edge on others from a military point of view. That's all about exopolitics. That's what this program is all about, and it's based on fact. And that's why it is of such great appeal to the American public. For example, I'm reading here from the a 2002 Roper poll on Americans and extraterrestrial attitudes. This is a highly scientific poll. You can go to exopolitics.com and read it. It's very extensive. And it's, here we go, more than half, 56% of the American public think that extraterrestrials are something real and not just in people's imagination. Nearly as many, 48%, believe that extraterrestrials have visited Earth in some form. Males are more likely to believe in the reality of extraterrestrials, as are those under the age of 65. Interestingly enough, about over 70% of the U.S. public believe that the government does not tell everything it knows about extraterrestrials. Now, the reason why we have so many illiterates in the media on extraterrestrials is that there in the mainstream media on extraterrestrials is that there has been a cover-up, a deliberate cover-up on the extraterrestrial issue since the late 1940s. Why has there been a cover-up? It's very easy. Winston Churchill said, "The truth is always hidden by a bodyguard of lies." Because the military wanted to maintain a monopoly on its relations with a certain advanced extraterrestrial culture and to maintain a monopoly on that technology transfer and apply it to military power, then it sowed confusion in the media and in the tried to sow confusion into the public that, oh, it's swamp gas, oh, extraterrestrials don't exist, oh, if you think in this, you're a kook. And if you're a professional and you, if you're a teacher or university teacher or a government official and you speak up on the extraterrestrial issue, your career is toast. So it's fallen to a number of brave people over time who have spoken out, and the extraterrestrials themselves have taken what we call popular outreach, that is, using the extraterrestrial phenomenon, have over time since 1947, and the principles queuing, that is, coming and using UFO encounters. They have gradually brought the human population into a position where now 65% believe, yeah, extraterrestrials are real. So this is a situation, it's like what we call the alien zoo, you know? The aliens are here, we're kind of the monkeys in the zoo, and they're signaling us that we're here. But they're having to take an outside strategy, because on the inside, the government has had secret extraterrestrial human liaison programs since the late 1940s. They've had multi-layer disinformation programs and disinformation agents within the media. Operation Mockingbird sets out how the CIA routinely controls mainstream media such that information on extraterrestrials doesn't get out. But as a career, one of the things of Exopolitics Radio, like we did in 1987, we always break through that blockade, like when we had the multiplicity of NPR stations taking our feed and making the 1987 Harmonic Convergence program quite an event.
Well, speaking of quite an event, I know that you just witnessed an event, and there's another one coming up with the X Conference coming up, and I think we can talk about some of those things in the future. I know from my experiences, Alfred, that as I've been involved in this show and speaking with people out and about, so to speak, just in random, and talking about these concepts, I do find that 9 out of 10 out of every 10 people believe that it is possible, that it is happening, and that there's a lot that we don't know, that we're not being allowed, that we're not allowed to know. So certainly I think that the collective psyche of Americans is changing, whether or not our government will allow that to happen or will acknowledge that it's happening. So certainly more fodder for the next two segments when we come back from break. You have been listening to a very special in-studio edition of Exopolitics Radio. I'm RV Romero, a guest of Alfred Weber, who is the host of Exopolitics Radio, and we'll be right back.
Aliens hover, waking home movies.
1480 KPHX.
Welcome back. You are listening to a very special in-studio edition of Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber. I'm a guest, RV Romero, and the host is Alfred Weber. Are you still with us, Alfred?
Hey, I'm right here.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much.
Hey, listen, you know, this is a once, in fact, we had listener email from Detroit, Michigan, telling us that they hold Exopolitics Radio listening parties in Detroit and asking us when are they going to have take listener questions. And I got we got two emails from the Detroit Exopolitics Radio listening parties. So I just want to say again, if you want to send an email, this is your opportunity. You can email us at exopolitics@exopolitics.com. Or you can call 1-800-989-1480, and I will answer any of your questions.
Excellent. Now, I do have a question for you, Alfred. We've already established during our first two segments, one, that Exopolitics is something that is in the mainstream media, meaning that radio stations, the largest radio stations in the world, are covering this topic, and people have a genuine desire to know more about it. And we've also established that whether or not the American government is disclosing anything, which we know they are not. The France has, the United Kingdom has, and a number of other large countries have started to open up their files. And so my question to you, Alfred, is specifically regarding the United Kingdom. I wonder, how is it that they can be so much further ahead, and that their government can even release this information, and that their people, it seems, would be willing to accept this and wanting to know more? But how is it that they can be so much further ahead than us, and that their governments can do that when we are so closely associated with them, specifically on a political platform?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that what we're dealing with here is a worldwide disclosure process, which is a bit of a dance, and it's an ongoing dance. And, you know, we all kind of have to dance with each other because we're stuck here on this planet, and the only way out is through. So if you look at France, the UK, and the U.S., what we all have in common is that we're all members of NATO. And so it's very likely that given that NATO has sort of a kind of a worldwide decision-making apparatus, sub rosa decision-making apparatus, it's very likely that we're moving toward some kind of consensus decision making with regard to the issue of extraterrestrial disclosure. Now, some people can say, Well, what's the big deal about extraterrestrial disclosure? Why does it matter? The big deal is this: energy, 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 energy. What the extraterrestrials have transferred starting in the early 1940s and has been developed now by what has been documented as a $1.5 trillion per year black budget. The surface budget, the declared budget, defense budget of the U.S. is $600 billion a year. The black budget is $1.5 trillion a year. That's stuff you don't even know about. And in the $1.5 trillion is where the extraterrestrial human liaison programs are developed and are operated. And what is in that budget are the advanced, exotic, fuel-less, non-polluting energy and propulsion systems, which are zero-point energy systems, anti-gravity systems, teleportation systems, and time travel systems, all of which would solve instantly the pollution problems we have, the blood for oil problems we have, the oil wars, the nuclear issues, the uranium mining issues, the ionizing radiation depopulation issues that we have. It would obsolete overnight the entire petroleum nuclear nightmare that we have, as we would move into advanced new energy systems that are fuel-less and non-polluting and that were brought to us by extraterrestrial civilizations on purpose that have either been retro-engineered from technology that has been deliberately ceded to us or as part of the interaction or has been actually transferred as part of ongoing programs.
Alfred, are you able to give us any examples of extraterrestrial technology that may already be in use here on the planet or inspired use here on the planet? And can you also tell us perhaps what the difference in mentality and thinking is between the human mind and people of higher intelligence or beings
of
higher intelligence?
Sure, sure. Let's go to two very simple examples very quickly. One is propulsion systems for extraterrestrial craft, and there are now in the black budget actual advanced, they call them ARVs, alien reproduction vehicles. You would call them flying saucers. And if you saw an alien reproduction vehicle, you would say, my God, is that an extraterrestrial vehicle or not? And that's why one of the first questions that we ask experts is, was the spacecraft of the in the Phoenix Lights, the two-mile-wide spacecraft, was that extraterrestrial in origin, was it human in origin, or was it mixed human extraterrestrials on board? That's a legitimate question, by the way. And so those propulsion systems in there are an advanced technology that actually exists, whereby they could immediately take over from the internal combustion engine so that we would no longer have little fires, all these explosions around the world that have to take place inside of all these cylinders inside of the internal combustion engine that would, that constantly pollute the air and that are highly inefficient. It's a highly inefficient form of energy transmission. Rather, we were going to zero-point energy and new energy technology, anti-gravity systems that would propulse, that would be the propulsion systems for new, for your vehicles, for new types of vehicles, that we'd get back to mass transit, but of a source that would be very, very clean. Our grid would disappear, our massive grid, and we would have devices the size of briefcases that could power entire apartment buildings. These devices exist now. Your home, you would not have to pay anymore for energy. This would completely transform the entire energy budget of the planet, energy would no longer be a significant issue or a significant cost in human production, in human settlements, in human industry, in human creativity. We'd be on to a much better game.
Can you tell us about healthcare as well and about medicine when you're done speaking about technology?
Yeah, just because I don't want to overrun this segment, I'll transfer into there. We have now examples from extraterrestrial contactees, and this is part of the political science of exopolitics. It's just like anthropology. If you're an anthropologist and you come across a new tribe, you sit down and you take field notes and you do an anthropological study of that new tribe. Well, the same thing with exopoliticians. You make a study of these extraterrestrial civilizations, and you see, and among extraterrestrial contactees, which can be a large portion of the human population, this poll shows that among those who believe in extraterrestrials and, quote, extraterrestrial abductions, up to 10% have been taken aboard extraterrestrial craft. That doesn't mean that you have a memory of it, but it means that vast numbers have been taken aboard extraterrestrial craft, and not for negative purposes, for positive purposes. We're in the midst of an upgrading of our human race, a genetic upgrading. We're being made into what I would call a new species of humans. Homo sapiens has kind of hit the wall. No, we're very uncooperative, war-making species, and now more of our inherent equipment, our 13 chakras, are being activated. Some of the healings that have been taking place.
Well, Alfred, let's talk about those healings in just a second, because we're going right on a break, and we'll be right back.
KPHX.
Welcome back. You are listening to Exopolitics Radio, a very special in-studio live version of Exopolitics Radio. Alfred Weber is your host. You still with us, Alfred?
I'm right here.
Excellent. Alfred, before we got cut off by the break, we were discussing the concept of extraterrestrial intelligence and the technology and the technological advances that they have over and above what we have here on Earth. And you were starting to get into some of the healing properties that their medicine is capable of. Can you go ahead and elaborate on that, please?
Yes. Just very, very briefly, because I don't want to take up too much time in this segment. Concurrent with their new view of physics that has developed these new propulsion systems and the ET craft, incidentally, the advanced extraterrestrial craft are actually more akin to living beings, and they're kind of an extension of the beingness of the pilots, of the mind of the pilot. The extraterrestrial craft are like a bioorganism. In that same way, the healing technology of the extraterrestrials, insofar as we've seen it, is very, very advanced. And one of our guests, Jim Sparks, who's been on Exopolitics Radio, he's had extensive 18-year unprecedented memory of being on an outreach and education program with a specific species of extraterrestrials. He was taken on board numerous times, drilled in a new extraterrestrial language, witnessed the secret extraterrestrial human liaison programs, and actually had been sort of put in charge of large numbers of humans who are taken aboard extraterrestrial crafts for debriefing and education, kind of upgrading the human system to be able to think and process at a much higher level. Jim himself, his lungs, he had been a lifelong smoker, and and the ETs who possess the ability to go backwards and forwards in time actually did a healing on his lungs because they perceived that he if he had gone forward he would have developed a lung cancer problem, did a healing on his lungs and presented him in two glass vials this fluid that they had extracted from his lungs, and he has had no more lung problems. And this is all through an advanced extraterrestrial technology. So that's just an example of the advanced healing technology, sort of vastly different from the allopathic medicine, you know, which now does not cure cancer but is designed to make the petroleum industry-owned pharmaceutical companies great profits. That's part of what will occur in the exopolitical future. It's an end to war, disease, crime, and poverty. What can I say more than that?
Well, that's all you need to say, and certainly that should be all anybody needs to hear to really push for the disclosure and to advance the exopolitical agenda, because our world needs some serious healing and so do its inhabitants. Speaking of the direction of our planet, Alfred, I know that you believe, and quite even possibly the extraterrestrials believe, that this year coming up, the year 2008, is going to be an integral part of our history and our planet. And one of those reasons is because of the United States presidential elections. Can you tell us about the roles that ETs are playing in that very important election?
Well, it's not only me. I mean, it's the Washington Post, for God's sake, which is, you know, I'm sure you all have seen All the President's Men, which has to do with Woodstein and Bernstein, Woodward and Bernstein. Bob Woodward was actually in my Yale undergraduate class, the class of '64, and I, Carl Bernstein was a good friend of one of my brothers, and I once spent an evening down in the French Quarter of New Orleans, pre-Katrina, by the way, pre that, you know, false flag operation base hit on the noble city of New Orleans by the U.S. government, drinking with Carl Bernstein, who's quite a guy. But even the Washington Post on its front page is now talking about, well, yeah, this is a main issue. Now, as we've talked about, the ETs, the extraterrestrials themselves, seem to be taking an actual interest in the U.S. presidential election, and I was just sent yesterday a 152-page, highly technical report on the Chicago O'Hare extraterrestrial sighting of November 7th, 2006, which we've discussed on Exopolitics Radio in terms of the context communication theory of extraterrestrial communications. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, extraterrestrial encounters, UFO encounters are actually multidimensional communications. They're like a dream. A dream is a multidimensional symbolic communication from your subconscious mind to your conscious mind. That's what a UFO encounter is. It's a communication in highly multidimensional compacted form from a higher intelligence to us little ants in the anthill. You know, we're an entry-level intelligent civilization. Human beings might be very ego-oriented and egotistical and think that they know everything, but in fact, we're just kind of the newest kid on the block. So if we look at the Chicago O'Hare Airport sighting, which occurred at the busiest airport, or one of the busiest airports in the U.S., Chicago O'Hare Airport, at 4:30 in the afternoon of November 7, 2006, which was the midterm election date of 2006, at United Gate C-17, and a United Airlines pilot actually came up to me recently after a speaking engagement in the States and said, you know, I'm a former United Airlines pilot. I've flown into Gate C-17 many times. And the personnel there are highly trained, and everything that they say is highly regulated and therefore apt to be true. And a 20 to 60 foot wide extraterrestrial craft came down right over gate C-17 as they were bringing in a United aircraft, a plane. And the ground crew saw it, the pilot saw it, the pilot signaled to the aircraft controllers who saw it, the FAA person saw it. It was highly documented. It went over all the mainstream media, CNN. It was played over national public radio, all things considered, on all 250 stations of national public radio, for Christ's sake. That's 250 stations, you know, far exceeding Air America. So, therefore, it's in the mainstream. Now, what are the extraterrestrials saying there? They're saying that, hey, look, this was midterm election day 2006. This was the date in which the neocons lost control of both houses of Congress. I was on major radio talk show 3 weeks prior to that because I'm a lawyer. I'm a civil liberties lawyer. I'm a judge in a war crimes tribunal, and they were asking me for comments on the Military Commissions Act, which had just been passed and signed. And the Military Commissions Act did away with the writ of habeas corpus, which is almost 1,000 years old, and it gave the government the right to designate American civilians as enemy combatants for the first time since the U.S. Civil War. So right before the 2006 midterm election, 2006, people were really worried. If we had had a neocon government still, all three branches of government, they could have gone into martial law, and there was nothing that that U.S. could do about it. But the extraterrestrials came down and signaled, hey, there's something about elections which are really important. Pay attention to your elections. And that's the message that ExoPolitics Radio has been getting out nationally about the importance of the intervention of extraterrestrial civilizations in the 2008 election. Now, just this coming week in the San Francisco Bay View, I was commissioned. That has been voted the leading African-American newspaper in the U.S. And I was contacted by the editor, and I was commissioned to write an article on the coming of martial law in the U.S. And martial law means military government. That's the definition of it if you look it up in the Oxford American Dictionary.
Alfred?
And that's what the extraterrestrials are talking about.
Alfred, we're just about running out of time here, sir. I'd like to go ahead and give one plug for your website. That's exopoliticsradio.com and exopolitics.com. I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, Alfred, for being this show, and also remind all of our listeners that starting August 4, that's a week from today, we have all new episodes, 8 p.m. Alfred, you want to go ahead and take us out?
Sure, and I just want to say to Glenn and Deanne who sent their email on Question on Law in the Universe, I'm sorry we couldn't take your question. ExoPolitics Radio is produced by Phoenix Productions in conjunction with its executive director, Richard Romero Sr., director R.V. Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. I am your elusive host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a miracle-filled and very live day, week, and life. Thank you.